Philippians chapter number 2. I thank God for this old book, don't you? It's a wonderful book. The wonderful truths in the Word of God. We're going to finish up this verse tonight, verse 16, and hopefully get on down in the chapter some more. And Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to stand behind this old book and this old desk one more time. God, I just ask you tonight, Lord. Lord, you said holding forth the word of life. Lord, it's a living book. It's alive. It's well. And God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that it lives in our hearts. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'd challenge us from the Word of God. Help us to leave, Lord, just a little closer than when we came. Help us to be, Lord, when we leave, a little more like Jesus than when we came. And I pray, Father, that you'd stir our hearts in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, and amen and amen. Now, I'm asking, I guess, Brother Ralph, I could ask you to tell me what was going on there with Sarah after the service. Okay, with her uncle, right? Her uncle passed away, is that correct? Okay, so just tell me about that after the service, if you would. I'm asking now because I'll forget it after a while. Holding forth the word of life. We began last week. We had several things written down, but we began with this thought. Because we're called into the church that we may be witnesses for God. And we went through all kinds of scriptures there in the New Testament, talking about how that some were more or less living up to that commitment and fulfilling that purpose in their lives. And yet others, we had the church at Corinth that was caught up in division, caught up in their self, so to speak, and one saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, think about I, and I think this will help us tonight. It's the middle letter in the word pride. It's the middle letter in the word sin. And if you go over there, I believe it's the book of Ezekiel, isn't it, where it talks about Lucifer and how did he fail. And that big I will. He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. Well, he's never done it. Amen. But he's going to go to hell trying, ain't he? Amen. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. And so we need to get the I out of the way. And the Bible, we had the two churches there, one at Corinth and the one at Galatia, was trying to, they had those Judaizers trying to pull them back under the law, hindering the purpose of Christ, and that we're here to be a witness. Now, let me give you just a couple more things tonight, we'll go from there. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but first of all, we talked about how there ought to be witnesses. Second of all, because that's why God kept us on the earth, amen, to hold forth the word of life. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, and some may disagree. But if we didn't have a purpose, then why didn't the Lord take us to heaven the day he saved us? In other words, we have a purpose, not only in heaven, but we have a purpose on the earth to hold forth the word of life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I fail. I guess Monday, the Lord's been whooping me. I failed. I had an opportunity to witness to a man that needed to be witnessed to in Saltville, Virginia. And I knew it. And the more I went away from it, the more God got on me for it. Amen. Do you ever fail him? I fail him sometimes. Amen. Miserably. And I didn't hold forth the word of life, and I should have. I should have. But I failed the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we don't fail. Sometimes we do fail. And I know that some may not admit that, but I believe that's good for us. Amen. To admit it. And ask the Lord to forgive us and try to do a little better the next time. Amen. When he gives us an opportunity to say something for his name's sake. We're kept on earth for that purpose. And then I want to give you this tonight. I believe that the very purpose of the Lord saving us was to, like Paul, further the gospel of Christ, take it on a little further. But let me ask you this. If we don't do it, who will? If we don't hold forth the word of life, then who will? I'll give you a couple things that I wrote down here. Those that are proud, they're not going to warn the proud. The scoffer is not going to warn the scoffer. The thoughtless and the vain are not going to go and tell others about God and a Savior. The wicked are not going to warn the wicked. How many believes that God left us here? And that's part of our obligation as children of God, amen, is to hold forth the word of life and to warn those, my friend, that are walking contrary to the word of God. Look at Ezekiel with me tonight, please. Ezekiel chapter 3. You may know these passages of Scripture, but I believe it's good every once in a while to review it, amen. Ezekiel chapter 3 tonight, and then we'll look at a passage in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse number 16. The Bible, excuse me, I don't know if I'm in the right place or not here now. Okay, yes. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. How many believes when we come to Sunday school, we're supposed to hear the word? How many believes when we come to church, we're supposed to hear the word? I mean, we get into Bible school, we're supposed to hear the word. We're having a youth Sunday, we're supposed to hear the word. But we're not just supposed to hear the word. The Bible said here, I want you to hear the word at my mouth. And then he said, I want you to do something with that you hear. I want you to go and give them warning. He said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but, is that strong language or not? His blood will I require at thine hand. How many believes that it's very possible for us to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have bloody hands? Because we have the answer, amen. You that are in the medical field tonight, several in our church in the medical field, surely you wouldn't allow somebody to lay there and suffer if you knew what it would take to relieve their suffering. How many of us would get in a vehicle and head for Charlottesville tonight if we could just relieve the suffering of our dear sister and bring her right on home? We don't have that relief. But as far as sin goes, as far as the wicked goes, we know the relief is found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it's found in the new birth. The Bible said here, his blood I require. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness. How many of you all remember a time in America when the warning was a lot stronger than it is today? It was stronger in the pulpits. We had stronger mothers, didn't we? Warning them boys and warning them girls. And oh, I tell you, some of us here tonight can go back to that grandmother. I mean, lay it on the line. God didn't call her to preach, but she preached to some of us. Say amen. Trying to help us and warn us. Boy, if you don't straighten up. I was praying for my grandson tonight. He's been caught doing some things in class and got in trouble. And I know the trouble's only going to get worse. Amen. If he don't get what he needs, if he don't get help from the Lord. Amen. I know it's only going to get worse. Some people say, well, it's just a little attitude problem. How many knows them little attitudes turn into a big attitude?
Amen. I believe them attitudes are easy to adjust when they're little. But when they get big, amen, sometimes it's hard to adjust them then. But he said, if you warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I believe tonight there's a principle there. We're not going back and trying to get a doctrine out of an Old Testament passage of Scripture, but there's a principle there that we have a responsibility to let our light shine in this generation and to not put the Word of God behind us, but put it in front of us and hold it forth to those that are around us. I believe that principle is there, don't you, in the Word of God. If there are none that will do this except Christians. And if we neglect it, sinners will go unwarned and unalarmed down to death. Turn with me if you in your Bible, please, if you would, to Hebrews for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. There's not a doubt in my mind. There is not one doubt in my mind that there wasn't a time in my life when I was a better witness than I am today. There's not a doubt in my mind. You say, preacher, what happens? I don't really know how to describe it all. But I'll tell you this much right now. I want it back. I want to be a witness. Amen. I want to be a witness for the Lord. I know the joy, amen, of being a witness for the Lord. I know, my friend, that at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be glad that we were a witness for Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. By the way, I kind of got on a series one time, and I'm not trying to be mean. No, sir, I'm not trying to be mean, but I got on a series one time on witnessing and soul winning and how you could take the Bible and how you could be kind and yet present the truth of the Word of God to those that are unsaved. And I had a man that actually, I won't say anything else, but a man came to me and he said this. He said, when are you going to get off of that and get on to something else? I want to tell you something right now. God left us here to be a witness, amen, to our friends. Be a witness, Brother David, to our loved ones. Be a witness to those around us, amen. This world might be wicked, but wickedness needs a witness. And that's why God left us here, I believe, to be a witness. Now watch this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Well, I tell you what, God might not be doing nothing for you tonight, but he's preaching to this old boy. He's saying, you need, preacher, you need to give the more earnest heed. Listen. Listen to me. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. He said, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Is there anybody here besides me that's let some things slip? Help me tonight, amen. Anybody here besides me that sometime in your life was more serious about telling others about Jesus than you are tonight? I didn't mean to preach like this tonight, but I tell you what, he's all over me tonight, amen. I said he's all over me. He's preaching to me tonight, amen. I want to give them more earnest heed. The Bible said, for if a word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great? Listen, this is not talking about you and I going to hell. How are we going to escape if we neglect what we have in the salvation that we have? How are we going to escape? The Bible said here, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. I tell you tonight, I believe we ought to hold forth the word of life. I believe there will be some rejoicing in the day of Christ. We've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I tell you tonight, sometimes we get to see the results. And sometimes we don't get to see the results. But God has never told a preacher to preach for results. He's never told a soul winner to tell people about Jesus for results. We're supposed to just lay it out there, amen, and leave it all up to Him. Leave it up to Him. holding forth the word of life, holding forth the word of life. We can do that. We're to shine as lights. It's not just for a pastor, not just for a deacon, not just for a teacher, but it's for every member in God's church. Amen. Everyone that's born again, everyone that's saved. I guess, Brother Teddy, maybe the Holy Ghost just reminded me. Maybe you started it tonight. Amen. We fail him, don't we, brother? We fail him. We fail him. We fail him. There ain't no use, just keep on failing him. That's why the word repents in the Bible. That's why we can say, God, would you help me? Lord, I might have failed you today, but God, if you give me a tomorrow, Lord, let me live for you. Let me serve you. Let me witness to somebody. Let me hold forth the word of life. Somebody might see their need of Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord tonight. I could sit down right now and I believe I've done what God wanted me to do. Amen. I just feel the Lord tonight. Amen. I feel the Lord tonight. I guarantee if you go all over Kingsport, I'll guarantee you, if men would be honest, there's preachers all over Kingsport. Say amen. Christians all over Kingsport. Amen. Used to do a little better job telling others about Jesus. Amen. Inviting people to Sunday school, inviting them to church, inviting them to Bible school, inviting them to youth Sunday. Let me say something tonight. If you got teenagers here in our church, why don't you challenge them tonight after church and say, honey, have you invited anybody? Son, have you invited anybody to youth Sunday? Is there anybody at that school that has a little bit of confidence in you that might come and hear the man of God preach? You say, preacher, why aren't sinners walking the aisle the way they used to? Well, they're not even invited the way they used to be to the house of God. Amen. I'm not just laying that all on the teenagers. Amen. They're not even invited the way they used to be to the house of God. They used to know, listen, there was a great difference in our life and theirs. Amen? They knew that. Even sinners knew that. That's why there was a respect for the house of God and a respect for the things of God. We do it by example. We're not to be hearers only, but doers of the word. We do it by sending the gospel to those who don't have it. I thank God. I thank God. I'm not going to mention any names tonight, but a man came to me right after we started the missions expansion fund. It wasn't too many months after that, and he said, preacher, I didn't think he was going to get anything. Well, I'm not getting it anyway. Say amen, but I know what he meant. Say amen. But he said, it looks to me like it's about time for me to up mine. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's just a belay, many of us here tonight. But thank God we can send the gospel around the world. We can send the gospel around the world. In so doing, we're holding forth the word of life by conversation. There's no Christian who has not some influence over others, their hearts and their minds. And we're bound to influence them by holding forth the word of life. Look at Psalm chapter 19 tonight. Psalm chapter 19. I get down here at the bottom of this page, I'm quitting. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, God is good. God is good. I'll just about guarantee you this tonight. I'm about guarantee our sister's laying up there in Charlottesville tonight trying to find somebody else to tell about Jesus. Say amen. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 14. Psalm chapter 19. I thought we'd get through the rest of the chapter tonight. That's kind of foolish thinking, wasn't it? Amen. Psalm chapter 19. Look at verse number 14. You say, preacher, what's it say? Well, I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up to verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? How many knows tonight we couldn't have got saved without the Holy Spirit? How many knows tonight we'll never understand our errors? Apart from the Holy Ghost. Miss Eve was telling me, and I don't know the youngin's name. If I did, I wouldn't tell you. She teaches the seventh grade over there at Cedar View Christian School. She was telling me a little while back that she, Brother David, let them grade their own papers. And I don't know exactly how the story went, Miss Eve, but anyway, it became obvious real quick that there was a young man in the class that was cheating. Can I say something tonight? There's an illustration here. I didn't plan on saying this, but as long as we're grading our own papers, we're all prone to cheat. Somebody help me tonight. But you let the Holy Ghost get his red pen out and go to grading our papers. Amen. I tell you, the grade might not look as good as what we think it does. Miss Eve warned him, didn't you, honey? Next time the hammer was coming down. You say, the hammer? Miss Eve got a hammer? No, she sends them to the office where they got a paddle. You say, they ain't got no business doing that. Well, they do it up there and it seems to work. The Bible said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Anybody got any of them? Anybody got any kind of fault that nobody else knows about? This is David. Oh, God help us. This is the man after God's own heart. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. A plural. Let them have not dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Stay with me just a minute. Please stay with me just a minute. Think about this. How many knows that he knows every word that comes out of our mouth? Now watch this. Never thought about it like this before. If he knows every word that comes out of our mouth, good or bad, how many knows he knows every word that doesn't come out of our mouth? How many knows what I just said? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Let me ask you something. If we can go week after week, day after day, week after week, month after month, and never mention him to this lost and dying world, do you think that's acceptable in his sight? I don't know what God's doing for you tonight. He's breaking up some fallow ground where I'm standing. I was up there at Action Rental yesterday. I stopped by there looking at some of their equipment. They got a bulldozer up there. And I used to weld for a living. And I've welded on parts on the track. I've welded on parts on the blade. I've welded on parts on the back here of what they call the rippers. How many knows what a ripper is? It's them teeth when they make a pass, they're cutting the ground in front of them with the blade, but they're loosening the ground behind them for the next pass. Then when they back up and go to push again, they're ripping and pushing, ripping and pushing. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with this lesson. I believe the Holy Ghost has dropped the rippers tonight. Breaking up. Brother Brian, have you ever walked away from somebody and knowed you failed the Lord? You should have spoke a word. I'm glad you're nodding at me, brother. That helps me. That helps me. You ladies ever walked away from somebody knowing you should have spoke a word for the Lord? You just stayed clamped up. I'm going to tell you what, when the Spirit of God whoops you over it, you'll know you've been whooped. Amen. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. I've often said,
One of the reasons I believe we ought to tell what Jesus means to us, what Jesus has done for us, because every time we tell it, it warms our heart. It would keep us from having a cold heart. It would keep us from being calloused in our, if we just, whether anybody listens or not, amen. I believe Isaiah died with a warm heart, amen. God said, you go tell them whether they will hear, whether they forbear. They're not going to listen, but you go tell them anyway, amen. I believe with all of my heart that would help us. And then lastly, holding forth the word of life, we can do it. Well, a couple more things. I thought it was the last one. We can do it by defending the faith. Or as Jude said, I think I mentioned this last Wednesday night, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then, you know, I think a lot of people, or maybe I should say some, they think that witnessing is just all about run it up to somebody, you know, and running up to somebody. And just, you know, God loves you. Or, you know, you need to be saved. We're all sinners. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. If you'll follow Jesus through the Bible, he might walk up to a man, and if that man was laying brick, he might talk to him about the foundation. You see what I mean? If that woman's water out of the well, he might talk to her about the water of life. In other words, it's not just about knowing some scripture. We should know the scripture, and we should share the scripture. We should hold forth the word of life. But we need some wisdom. I think about the Spirit of God just now told me that opportunity that I missed the other day. There was a sign, and I bought the sign. I bought it for my son. It says, if you can read this, and it had a big crosshair on it like you would be looking through the scope on a rifle. It said, if you can read this, you're in range. Man could have took that sign and said, you know what? Some people are able to hit the mark. Some better than others. But as far as the mark of God's holiness, we've all sinned and we've come short of that mark. We've failed to hit that mark. That's why Christ had to die on an old rugged cross. I believe there's opportunities that we miss. Different reasons, maybe. But I believe tonight the Lord is emphasizing the need to hold forth the word of life. I'm going to go ahead and say it, Brother Brian, ahead of time. We had a meeting last year before Bible school, and we talked about, you know, how there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of games, a lot of snacks, and all of that. That's not the main purpose of Bible school. The main purpose of Bible school is to get the Bible, and the Bible school's geared that way, amen, to get the Bible, get the verses, get the scripture into the youngins, into their lives, holding forth the word of life. Then lastly, we can do that by rebuking sin and thus testifying to the value of holiness. The Bible said that open rebuke is better than secret love. In Proverbs chapter 9, let me show you something tonight. I don't think there's a person in this building that would take offense to anything that's been preached tonight. I really don't. But let me say this to you tonight. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 8. Just a couple of things real quickly. The Bible said, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. When a person's a scorner, that's why the Bible told us not to sit in the seat of the scornful. You can't help him. God, the Bible said, don't reprove that man. Better just leave that man alone. Amen. But watch this now. He said, rebuke a wise man, I'm looking for the verse, but I think I know what it says. And he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know what I believe tonight? I believe I love the Holy Spirit more now than I did when the service started. Ain't no use of me get upset with him, Brother David. He's got it right, and I've got it wrong. Amen. If you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. You rebuke a scorner, and he'll hate you. Look here with me at Proverbs 13:1. Proverbs 13:1, the Bible said, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son. How many of you can remember those days? I was talking to someone a little while back how that there's certain ages, especially for teenagers. I guess it's true. I know it's true of boys because I are one. But Brother Wayne, we're not a kid anymore. And we're not a man yet. We just feel like we're caught in no man's land. Pardon the pun. Amen. That's where we feel like we're caught, just in no man's land. But I can remember some days. It says here, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. I can remember the days in my life when I just couldn't take Dad's word for it. How many knows what I'm talking about? There was a time when I guess I questioned. I wasn't 2 years old saying why to everything, amen, but this seemed like about everything Dad went to do, I was questioning. How come? Why we do it? Why not? Like, I always thought I had a better idea as anybody home. It didn't take me too long to figure out the father was a lot wiser than the son. Years ago, what time is it? It's after 8 o'clock. Years ago over there at Cedar View Christian School, I may have told you this story. Jeremy and I were remodeling the classrooms. We dropped the ceilings, put in new windows. They had them old big steel frame windows, single pane glass in them. And did a lot. We did all the woodwork. We didn't do the painting. They hired somebody to do the painting. We did all that. One day we had already done two classrooms, and one day Jeremy said, Dad, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? What you got to do it like that for? Why don't we do this? And I tell you, even preachers get fed up sometimes. I can remember, I think it was about 11:30, going on lunchtime. And I looked at my son, and God gave me a little bit of wisdom, Brother David, a little bit. I looked at my son and I said, son, you have got some tremendous ideas. And I really don't think you have said anything that wouldn't work. And that was true. But I said, son, on any job, somebody's got to kind of lead and get the material together and get a plan for the day. And then somebody's got to just jump in there and help and work and help that person that's leading. I said, when you get two trying to lead, I said, it just kind of creates conflict. And not that it won't work. I said, you've had some good ideas. But I said, son, we've already done two classrooms. And we're getting faster on every one. I said, I personally believe your way of work, but I think what we're doing is the best way, but I said, right after lunch, if you want to lead, son, you can lead. I'll help you. I'll hand you anything you ask me for. I'll do anything you ask me to do. You can lead and I'll help you. We'll get this job done. I think 30 seconds went by. I'm not sure. And my son said, Dad, that's okay. You go ahead and lead. I think he began to think about all that was involved. You understand what I mean? Besides just one decision at a time. And I believe tonight that if we just look at him and say, you go ahead and lead, I believe it'd be all right. Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many wants to be a better witness? Encourage the teenagers, since we have a special day. Moms, dads, grannies, grandpas, whatever you call them, memos, papas. Encourage the teenagers to invite a friend to the special day. Now, I know that I need to be specific right here. Not somebody that loves Jesus and knows Jesus and is already in Sunday school and church. We're not trying to pull somebody. I mean, that would be okay for a special day, but that's not what I'm talking about. Our kids and grandkids, they know people that are not in church. They know people that are not saved. And they'd just be a golden opportunity. All they'd have to say is, come and hear this preacher that used to play football for Florida State. Man, he preached last year on our youth Sunday, and he did a great job. Would you just come? Would you just come and hear it? There might be one, and that'd be worth it all. They'd come. Amen? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? All hearts and minds clear? Mine is. I believe maybe I can sleep now. Amen. Thank y'all for putting up with me. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Those that are hurting tonight, God, physically, I pray you'd touch them. Those that are hurting tonight emotionally, I pray, God, you'd touch them. Spiritually, I pray, God, you'd touch them. Help us, our Father. Help us, Lord. Not to be, Lord, I guess, for lack of a better word, stagnant in our Christian life. Lord, you said out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, holding forth the word of life. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name.